You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. IGN Gamescoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
Yo, dudes!
Brian Altano is here. And making his first appearance on Gamescoop is Walter Lopez.
Hello, everybody.
Lopez.
On here.
Also known as Snack Pack.
And yes. Slopez. Everybody knows him as Slopez.
Yes. What? Oh, I don't. Let's do this.
Now I'm on? No? Now I'm off? Now I'm on? Hello?
Let's do this.
Hello?
I don't hear
I don't hear myself in my thing, but that's so normal for the seat.
I don't hear you in my headset, but you are coming. How about now?
How about now?
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. Beautiful.
But they heard everything up until then.
Yeah, I don't know.
I said yo dudes, and then I said his name's Slopez.
Yeah, now you're up to speed.
All right.
Sometimes you need to peek behind the wizard's curtain, you know?
It's true.
You like that.
It's an old chestnut. You got to pee in the wizard's curtain? What?
I think Anthony wanted to join us today, but he's
stupid.
He's preparing for the burrito lunch he's going to attempt today.
I forgot about
this.
Are you filming this?
Yeah, we'll film it.
Do you want to give the rundown of what's happening? Go.
Anthony Gallegos is an eater.
Mm-hmm.
Kid can eat. He can put food away.
He once ordered a cheese deep dish pizza and then ate 3/4 of it by himself, which
is insane. That's like the thickest, heaviest shit in the world. And the most delicious. Oh, we got pupusas last weekend, and before I could finish one pupusa, he had made three disappear. So he thinks he can eat three burritos in a row, three veggie burritos in a row.
To be fair, there's no meat in these, so he might stand a chance. But still, that's a lot of beans and rice.
I guarantee he'll do it.
It's going to be misery.
Distended stomach, leaning at his desk, crying the rest of the day.
So look forward to a video coming soon of Anthony attempting to eat three burritos in a row.
Your video needs to be, you film him eating them, and then there's just, 30 minutes later, and then you film just how he's doing.
Yeah, he's sweating.
And it's like Man vs. Food at the end of every episode when he does the press conference. They're asking him questions, and he's just like, he's covered in sweat.
Yeah, which is every day for Anthony, I guess. yes, this is Walter's first appearance on GameScoop. Walter does community stuff for us here at IGN. Yes. Has a lot of friends, a lot of GameScoop fan friends out there.
Absolutely. I've been a part of his community for a long-ass time, so.
Yeah, you were a fan before you were working here.
Yep.
True.
I'm no longer a fan.
That tends to happen when you actually hang out with us. So, South Park, the game, is coming next year.
Amazing.
I played it. It was called Tower Defense.
I know, right? That's the weird thing. There's been several South Park games already, but now South Park, the game.
The definitive game is coming right now.
This is a big announcement on the next issue of Game Informer.
Correct,
the cover there.
But, I mean, the hook to it, right, isn't so much that it's another South Park game. It's that it's by Obsidian. And it's this RPG, and it's like, it's not what you'd expect from, I guess, what the hell would you expect from a South Park movie? But, you know, this, you know, Obsidian, known for RPGs, and they're making, like, this one, like, the what?
Yeah, so, and being written by Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yeah.
And they'll be providing the voices.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. And, yeah, so you're going to be playing the new kid in town, and it's up to you to make friends and defend the town from a wide range of threats.
Wow.
I'm sold.
I know. That's what the back of the box is going to read.
There's a ton of, like, insane storylines they can pull up for this. And, like, you know, there's a long lineage with, 15 seasons of South Park where they've just done whatever they wanted. So
yeah.
I'm kind of interested to play a game in a genre that usually takes itself so seriously, being just flat-out dumb like this. I think it could be great. We'll see.
We'll see, indeed. We'll see.
Yeah.
I remember Virtual Springfield Simpsons, where I just wandered around and went through people's desks and stuff. It was boring.
And then you mentioned, I'll tell you, yesterday you mentioned the Simpsons game.
The Simpsons
that
game.
Came out, 2008 or something.
Which, you know, it meant totally well. It had all the characters, the animation, the art style was fantastic. Yeah. The Springfield was, you know, a living world that it was full of references to the show. But at the end of the day, it wasn't the greatest game.
Yeah.
So we'll
see.
Did you play? So Altano played the N64 South Park back in the day.
As much as you could,
I vaguely
play
think I did. Yeah, I think so. I don't remember much about them.
They were pretty unplayable, actually.
Yeah, there hasn't ever really been a great South Park game.
No.
Yeah.
Hopefully, this will be the first one. It's coming for current gen platforms and in the personal computer.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Got a floppy disk.
Mm-hmm. Walter, does anyone have any questions out there about this South Park game? Not that we know a lot about it, but we could make some stuff up.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Daryl. From Twitters.
That's right? His name?
His first name is Daryl.
Kind of a
long
name.
Daryl from Twitters. It's actually Twitters. It's at D3Wizzle.
Okay.
He wants to know if they're going to be like, they're going to throw a throwback to the N64, like a soft park in the game.
Yeah, everything's going to be foggy. You won't be able to see anything.
Can't see seven
or possibly DLC later on and give back a little to the fans and throw it. Because he loved that game, apparently. He wants to know if that's going to be in there.
Why does he love that game?
I would say that they definitely won't do N64-related DLC. I'm going to call that out right now. That's not going to happen.
You're declaring that
lock of the week.
Yeah, sure. Lock of the week. Put it in stone.
I wonder if it'd be possible to make it, like, how big is that file for the original N64 game? Could that be an unlockable?
It's the size of a modern JPEG.
Yeah, exactly right.
So it can't be hard, right? Just throw it in there?
Yeah, but, you know, why would you?
I wonder who
made this N64 game?
It was like a claim back then.
Yeah,
right. Acclaim was doing those
licensed
games.
So those rights
are
completely lost. Nobody knows who has that right.
Acclaim dissolved several years ago. I wonder where all of Acclaim's rights. I think they got
they're lost in the fog like the rest
sold
of their franchises. I just don't see, there's, what, 8 people on Earth who would be like, oh, I get that reference. Right, so what's the point?
Well,
I'm bringing back the N64 game. I just don't see, that's weird fan service to me.
D-Wizzle.
Yeah. I have another one here from Ken Diesel.
What? Okay. This is very similar to the last Twitter name.
Yeah. This guy wants to know what character you guys are most interested in South Park.
Stan Marsh. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
No, I want to see a whole side quest with him where he, you know,
vomits
and takes over a strip club.
Did he ever get done with vomiting? I haven't watched South Park in quite some time.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. So he finally got over. He got over that growing and doesn't vomit.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean, obviously there'll be a whole thing where Kenny dies multiple times and they have to revive him. And
that is still funny.
Yeah, it's still good.
Yeah, it is.
So, like Greg, I haven't watched South Park in a long time either. Do they still kill Kenny in every episode?
No, they don't.
They got
it's very rare now. In fact, they actually explained in like the 12th or 13th season why he keeps coming back from life.
What's the answer?
He's sort of cursed.
Okay.
So it's just sort of like a Greek tragic hell for him where, you know, those people that constantly have to push a boulder up a hill and they get to the top and it gets too heavy and he rolls down. Yeah. So it's kind of that for him. So it would be cool if they brought that into the game because it's actually a pretty interesting RPG-esque story.
My favorite character is the gay Satan. And I was telling David when we went and saw Paranormal Activity 3, and I was finally like, the movie's just ruined for me because it was so bad. I just kept envisioning the demon was the gay Satan. So every time the demon did something, I just imagined him saying something.
Butters is great, obviously.
Butters is awesome.
I was thinking Butters.
I can't whistle if I eat too many crackers.
Jimmy's, if they have a whole stand-up comic level where he's telling jokes, I mean, that stuff's great.
Yeah,
lots of great characters to pull from.
Talking about it actually makes me, it could be cool.
This game
could
be cool. It's a matter of how serious they take it, you know. And if people go in going like, "Oh, this is the new Obsidian game," rather than, "Hey, this is the new South Park game," you know,
then you have to wonder, like, if the game turns out to be good, why did it take 15 years to get a good South Park game?
I don't know. It's so odd because you see literally every other popular franchise gets licensed to death every year on every platform. But South Park's just something people didn't really want to touch, and I don't think it's because Trey Parker and Matt Stone were like, "We're very, you know, secure with these rights here," because those characters were on everything in the
90s. They've been merchandised
to death.
To hell.
So it's a good question.
Yeah.
One that I don't have the answer for.
Okay. Just like all these questions.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Any other South Park questions?
Yes, Walter? One more. Carbonite 92. He wants to know if it's the RPG system in this game is going to be more like Fallout or Skyrim.
Those aren't very different systems, are they?
No.
Well, I mean, if he's talking...
I think he's considering Obsidian's behind this thing. He's wondering if it's going to be anywhere near like Fallout or...
I mean, Obsidian did Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, and actually Fallout New Vegas did have a similar Skyrim system as far as morality. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Your choices weren't black and white. You weren't moving towards the light side or dark side kind of thing. So
you think South Park game would work under that kind of a system at all?
I think given the subject matter and the characters involved and the entry level of people that were going to this type of game, it's going to probably be more dumbed down. I'd say it's going to be a lot more accessible than something, even like Skyrim, which is pretty accessible. Because
they want to go wide with this.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
spread them wide.
Sense.
That's what they're saying. I think that's the team motto. Every morning when they do their jumping jacks before they sit down on decks. Spread them wide, everybody.
Spread them wide. Softball game coming out.
We should do jumping jacks in the morning.
Yeah, good luck with that.
On the roof. We have the roof access. Yeah.
Okay.
Damon, do you know what I did after work last night?
How we get exclusives here at IGN.
I do not know what you did after work last night.
I bought a pair of gym shoes and I went running.
No, you did not.
I did do that.
No, you bought the shoes and went running one go.
Uh-huh. Well, so I didn't run from the mall home, but when I got home,
you ran to the cash register.
I'll wear them out if you don't mind.
What a deal. So how did that turn out for you?
Not too shabby. Yeah. I went a little over a mile. There's this zombie 5K that I'm going to run this next year, and I'm excited for it. So I figured originally I was just going to show up to the zombie 5K and see how long I could last. It's an obstacle course, Brian. Mm-hmm. 12 obstacles to run through, and you got flag football.
You finally found out the details on this?
Yeah. Okay. And there's zombies in the woods and whatnot dressed like them.
They're trying to snatch the flags up.
Exactly. If they take your flags, you become a zombie, and then you have to...
And how can people participate in this?
I think it's runforyourlives.com. If you just put zombie 5K into Google, you'll find it, and it's all across the country, and I'm doing that. But I was going to do it where I just showed up, Damon. I was going to go to Seattle. I was just going to show up. And I was just going to run it as Greg Miller. Yeah. And then I was like, well, that's a lot of money to spend to get up there and then just get winded after the first one and get it snatched off right away. So
yeah.
I'm training.
So you're training. And when is the run again?
If I do the Seattle one, it'd be in August.
Oh, but you got plenty of time.
I found out it's 2 hours outside of Seattle. And the one in San Diego is an hour outside of San Diego. And they're adding more. So I'm holding off on registering for any of them yet. Hoping that they'll announce the San Francisco.
Do you have to run 2 hours outside of Seattle?
Yeah, if they do one in San Francisco, I'd want to do that. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Right, a lot of fun, yeah.
Mm. There you go. I want to see the persona that is Greg Miller go from, you know, tweeting about Pachis and Wing Wings check out these new Nike shoes. That's the thing.
If you start running, you can keep having Pachis and Wing Wings.
Well, like I was going to stop. Sure. That's what I tweeted last night, is that I'm not giving up on being fat. I call, when people start dieting and working out, I call them quitters. I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, Hillary Goldstein, quitter. Yeah. A bunch of people are quitting being fat. I'm not quitting being fat. I just want to make sure that I don't waste $70 to register and then $300 in airfare to get freaking caught by the first zombie I see.
It's not that much. I've been getting really good deals on flying.
You going to Virgin America?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Under 200. $175.
Okay.
Last weekend was Thanksgiving. Was that just last weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. that's a big shopping time here in the U.S.
They call it Green Weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's what they call it. The Xbox 360 sold almost a million units.
It's insane.
Over Thanksgiving weekend.
Completely insane.
It is insane.
Wow.
To put this into perspective, they sold less than 400,000 units in the entire month of October.
Wow.
And then in one day, on Black Friday, they sold 800,000 units.
That's a lot.
And over the entire weekend, they sold 960,000 units, just shy of a million units in one weekend.
Cyber Monday and Telephone Tuesday and Wacky Wednesday and the rest of those things? Or is it just Black Friday?
Telegraph Thursday.
No, so it's the entire weekend. Yeah. So I don't know if Cyber Monday has rolled into that, too. But they also sold almost a million Kinects, also.
That's really the more surprising thing to me.
Some of those are included in bundles.
I was going to say, bundles.
This is bundles and sold separately, but your parents help you hook it up.
So, it's looking right at me.
the Wii and the 3DS did all right too.
Yes, yeah.
I think the Wii.
I remember the number.
Half a million.
Like, yeah,
or something like 500,000.
Which is just like, I mean, they're cheap at this point, right?
Yeah, they're nothing.
I'm just surprised. Like, who doesn't have a Wii now?
I don't know. 500,000 people
need it for the bedroom. You watch the Netflix on it.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure,
on your big CRTV, mm-hmm. big 27-inch CRTV.
So that means. That's 11 months straight for the Xbox 360 is the best-selling console in the U.S. Only one more month, and it will be the entire year. They'll have been the best-selling console.
Beyond.
Straight. But yeah, the 3DS has also really been picking up.
Yeah, which is odd.
That's really
fastest-selling portable Mario game. The fastest-selling Zelda game period happened this weekend. I forget the exact sales numbers on the 3DS, but it's outpacing the DS's first year at this point, which I think we knew, but now it's totally concrete. Yeah. But wow.
So it's the price drop that helped, and then I think it's Mario Land.
Finally, 3D. Games, it's, right?
It's
finally getting games.
It's really software.
And speaking of which, Damon,
yeah,
if I can take a quick aside about Mario,
yeah,
you could totally play Super
That's
Mario.
That's what I've been wondering.
Land.
I really want to play that game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I played it. I played the first five worlds, and like, there's like one section where like you could figure it out. You could stumble
without
through
the 3D.
Yeah, it's totally easy. Don't worry about it.
Just as a reminder, my eyes are broken. I cannot see 3D. So I wasn't looking. I wanted to play Mario, but I wasn't sure if I would be able to. How much I would be able to enjoy it without the 3D. So
it'd be funny if one of your like right eye just spun all the time.
My left eye has been totally. I don't know what's going on. Left eye right now. So you like Super Mario Land 3D?
I played it.
But wait, that's not the same thing.
I liked it fine.
Oh, okay.
It's more Mario.
So you're not crazy.
And that's the whole thing. They're all like, well, I guess, you know, once you get past World 8, it gets really hard and crazy. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's still 8 worlds I have to play through where I'm kind of just like, oh, I got a tail. Do, do, do. I don't know.
I think it's a perfect marriage between New Super Mario Brothers, which was like a great side-scrolling game, and, you know, Mario Galaxy, which is totally all over the place.
I agree with you. You are free-roaming the world, and I like that. And I had fun with it, but it was just a distraction. It wasn't anything I was compelled to go back to. And that's why when I got back, I gave Rich back the 3DS I borrowed. I was just like...
Yeah, I mean, it's great for a plane. Like, I flew back and forth, you know, for Thanksgiving across the country, and I was like, this is great. You know, I'm having fun here. But it's not... You're never like, wow, I'm totally... hooked here.
I remember, Mario 64, right? Like, I was like, oh man, I want to keep playing. I got to find that. I got to do this.
Yeah, Mario 64 was like a sandbox game almost. And this feels more like you have these 2-minute-long challenge levels. You got to rush through them as fast as possible, collect 3 gold coins, hit the top of the flagpole, and get out.
Mm. So basically,
it's tough.
So basically, I'm not the only one who like sees Mario and Zelda and just kind of like, I'll put it aside because I got other games I want to get to first.
I know you're not, but I mean, you're not the only one that's wrong.
Okay.
I think both those franchises, out of the sleeping giant that is Nintendo, who's utterly lazy the rest of the year, both came out of nowhere and did really cool things. So I'm actually surprised, but we'll see. We'll see what happens next. Probably more garbage.
At this point, Nintendo has nothing planned until the Wii U, right? Or that we know of. That we know, that
in terms
announced.
Of console stuff, nothing. For nothing 3DS... There's, you know, Mario Kart's coming out. There's Luigi's Mansion,
this
Kid
Sunday,
Icarus.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's
Kid Icarus is still not out.
Yeah,
wow.
It's not out.
That was like the big game that they showed with the 3DS and like
Animal Crossing. I mean, there's a bunch of their things that Nintendo fans love. I don't think there's going to be anything that really grabs anyone outside of that. But in terms of Wii, it's dead. It's done. Like, Zelda is the swan song. I don't think there's like Fortune Street, which is garbage.
Right.
There might be like Mario Party 92 or whatever.
I guess they're bringing Xenoblade over, but like that's a very niche.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
JRPG.
For all the people that just bought their Wiis now, I hope you can go through the backlog of stuff, because don't be sitting there looking at release dates expecting new things to come out.
Get Paper Mario.
Yeah.
What are chances Zelda gets another like release on the Wii U? The same one. Like
It's Nintendo. I'd say 110%.
I'll wait for that.
And it'll be in HD and it'll look great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to wait for that, go for it.
Will it have normal controls?
I don't think so. I mean, they designed the entire
normal
game
controls.
Around the entire
That's
game is designed around the
controls. Yeah, not with normal controls.
Now with regular controls that adults can understand and not dumb babies.
Speaking of selling a lot, Battlefield 3 has sold a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as much as Modern Warfare 3, but...
But what has...
Battlefield 3 sold over 8 million units, and any game that sells over 8 million copies is a verified success.
Yeah.
So EA did fine on that.
Here's a pat on the back, EA.
I think they've shipped 12 million.
Ships 12 million, yeah. But who cares about ships numbers?
Nobody?
Not us, at least.
No, not me. And I'm actually glad to see that they gave us both of those numbers, because that's always interesting to see that, you know, they sold over 8 million, but there's still 4 million sitting on store shelves. So... That's one way to put it in perspective. You would walk in the store and be like, this thing bombed. They're everywhere.
And the Back to Karkand map pack is coming out soon for Battlefield 3 and coming to PS3 first, Greg.
I guess
that's it. I guess the console wars are over.
It's totally over, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll see on Cyber Quartils Day. That's when the PS3... Cyber Quartils Day. That's when the PS3 will really make its move in the sales and such.
It's actually interesting we've actually gone through and charted how many times Sony has gotten exclusives over Microsoft, and it's a total of like 10 days of exclusive DLC content. over the course of both systems' lifespan in every game, whereas, you know, Microsoft is just, like, years ahead in terms of stuff like that. Yeah. So, I mean,
You're talking about just DLC stuff.
Yeah, just DLC. Okay. Not adding up the time.
Because,
like, if you look at something like Limbo, obviously it had a year head start on 360. Yeah. That's not fair to say, you know. But just, like, same content coming to both platforms.
Yeah.
360 is almost always winning, except for in Battlefield 3, which I believe they've had exclusives on PS3 the whole time. Am I right about that?
That was the plan. Remember, they announced the first thing of DLC would be early exclusive for PS3. Mm-hmm. And then when they forgot to put Battlefield 1942 on the disc, they said, well, all our DLC will be, you know, early for you guys.
Yep. Yeah, I wonder how that worked out for Sony. It's like Call of Duty is kind of an Xbox franchise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft has made sure of that. So EA sort of bet on the PS3, like, to make Battlefield 3 sort of a PS3 mm-hmm. game. They developed it for the PS3. The DLC's coming there first. But I wonder if that worked out, you know, for them. I wonder, like, are most people playing it on PS3? I don't know.
It's weird because I think a lot of 360 owners are just like, oh, cool, that's there. But a lot of PS3 owners pay a lot more attention to stuff like that. Like, when companies take care of them more, I think you guys are a lot more loyal. I say you guys when I look at you, Greg.
That's fine. I'm totally kind used to being the Sony fanboy.
Yeah, sure.
I am so biased.
Yeah, but I think you guys get a lot more excited about that kind of stuff, and you notice it more than 360 people who are just like, oh, there, that's that. I'll buy it.
I think there's something to be said for the fact that, PlayStation fans or, like, people who are dedicated to that console kind of are more dialed into the industry in general, it seems. And I know that's a blanket statement, so don't get mad. Yeah. Xbox,
I'm making it too, so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. But, like, there's so many people who bought, you know, why Xbox sold so well, right? They bought the Call of Duty bundle. That's all they want to play. They want to do that. They want to do Madden. They want to play Halo. They want to play bro games.
Mm-hmm. Well, it comes down to, like, when you think about playing online with your friends, which console comes to mind first?
Yeah.
And
totally.
Sony's still fighting that battle, you know?
Are they really fighting it? I don't think so. it seems kind of like it's just whatever.
I have a couple friends who I was visiting over the break, and they're like, you know, they hear me talk about video games. I'm writing about video games all year. We're all, like, very in tune to the industry. We're watching everything, talking about everything constantly.
Yeah.
Black Friday, they walk in and, you know, they go to some store where the three of the biggest games of the year, Uncharted, Batman, and Call of Duty, are like $30 each. So my friend walks in the store, spends $90, and he's like, yep. That's it for my video game endeavors for the year. And then he crawls back in his cave and just plays those three games. And
yeah.
Next year, you know, the groundhog will emerge again, and that's it.
My friends back in Missouri were starting to ask me about that. Like, hey, what could we get to play online together and blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, I didn't even bother mentioning the PS3. Like, no. Like, can you imagine that I'm now walking four people who are going to play, you know, one game for a year. I'm walking them through how to set up a Bluetooth. First off, where to buy a Bluetooth headset.
Yeah.
How to set it up to your system. Turn on the audio device. And the Xbox is literally plugging the controller, and then we're playing Left 4 Dead. It's like, good, perfect.
Well, Back to Kharkin is out December 6th on the PS3, a week after that on Xbox and PC. It's free if you got the limited edition of Battlefield 3, $15 otherwise. And, Greg, PlayStation Vita.
Yeah, what about
it? Comes out in Japan soon.
It does.
How soon?
December 22nd? 3rd? Somewhere right there. In the 20s? December 20s? No.
Santa's going to have a busy night.
Might be December. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of Vita's to
read. Speaking of Santa, so I was watching Hulu Plus, and they're running these Best Buy commercials on Hulu Plus.
Turn on the phone.
Have you seen
Best
these
Buy.
Game On Santa commercials?
No.
No.
This girl shopping at Best Buy, then the prices are so cheap on stuff, she can afford to buy a lot of gifts. So she gets home, she stuffs her whole family's stockings with gifts.
I did see this one.
And when Santa shows up, there's no room for him to place his gifts. And so she's standing there, and she's, like, smugly mocking him. She's like, oh, I guess I didn't leave any room for you. No, this is awkward. And, like, I think that it's such a mean-spirited commercial.
Yeah, that's
like, Santa Claus has shown up to, like, give you presents, and you're like, eh, fuck you, old man.
All right, I think you might be reading a little bit too. And you're overlooking the fact, I think she is incredibly attractive, that girl.
She looks familiar. Where have I seen her?
I think she's got, like, the red hair. She kind of looks like that girl from Glee who had the red hair.
I feel like I've seen her somewhere else. But
is she then like, I think also, she's I got a basement full of elves and 12 reindeer in my roof. We don't even need you anymore.
17th. December 17th. Vita release date.
I think she's a bitch, Greg.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care.
Okay, go
I'll stuff her stocking, all right? She has, like, 17 stockings up there, too. She doesn't look like a mom of 17.
You can never tell, Greg.
What does that make you?
There's one way to tell.
If you have 17 kids, you're not an octomom, you're a
dog.
What is that?
A clown car.
What is that?
You've had a litter of dogs.
A rabbit woman.
Maybe she's a cat lady. She has a bunch of cats.
That's true. That's true.
Anyway.
That are kids.
PlayStation Vita, December 17th in Japan.
Yeah.
February something.
22nd. And, that's where the 22nd's coming from, I think.
Okay. And we found out that, so, We found out how much the memory cards cost for the PlayStation VR.
They're a bargain, Damon.
They are a bargain. Yes, I'm sure.
There's something, all right.
So the PlayStation Vita has no internal memory.
Correct.
You have to use these memory cards for anything from... It could be saving games. It could be, you know, storing entire games. It could be for games to access the DLC. It's kind of confusing, and it appears that games will do it differently from game
to game.
It's
one of those things where, in classic Sony style, they're kind of leaving it up to developers, which then complicates everything and will bite them in the ass, I'm sure, in the end.
But the bottom line is you need a memory card
Does it come with anything?
There's bundles. You can buy bundles that would have it. But if you just bought a Vita straight up, you would not get a memory card.
So if I wanted to a store, bought a Vita and a game, I couldn't save it.
Well, not necessarily. Game cartridges,
okay.
Some of them will have like internal save data. But the unit itself has no internal memory.
And they're leaving that up to publishers to be like, do what you want.
Yes.
That's what we can gather.
Yeah, that's dumb. That seems very chaotic.
Yeah. Yes.
So... You have to get a memory card.
Uh-huh.
The cheapest one is four gigs, and it's $30, which is that's so outrageous. The problem here is that memory cards are so outrageously overpriced.
Yeah.
Like, memory, in general, costs $1 a gig or less. Like, if you just look, if you're buying memory.
Like,
if you're
USB buying memory sticks or something like
USB
that.
USB memory sticks, SD cards, external hard drives, memory costs a gig or less.
Yep.
And the more gigs you buy, the more that goes down. Like, you can get a 500 gig external hard drive for $85. That's 17 cents a gig. But... The cheapest memory card option on the PlayStation Vita is 4 gigs for $32. So it's like, it's crazy. It's crazy overpriced.
They're doing the same thing they did with PSP, but the problem was then getting, you know, because it's a proprietary format, you can't go and buy a scan disk card and put it in there or anything like that. You can't get a flash memory. And when the PSP did this, memory was expensive as hell then. You know what I mean? Like, even flash drives, I remember in college, cost money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
This is several years ago now.
Exactly. And now we're at the point of, yes, you can buy a 500 gig thumbstick for whatever, like $80 and be totally great.
Yep.
And now they're trying to nickel and dime you this for like, what, 32 is the biggest one, I believe, right, for the Vita?
Yeah, 32 is $120.
Yeah.
Almost half the cost of the Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Half the cost of a 3DS.
Yeah.
Remember when people bitched about how expensive that thing was at the gate?
Yeah. And as usual, Sony's not doing itself any favors because they're not explaining any of this. We're hearing about it from GameStop rather from them. They just put out firmware 4.0 for PS3 this week, which lets you back up your Vita and communicate between your PS3 and Vita. But without us having Vitas and not having someone walking us through what that means, it could be as simple as maybe all you need is a 4-gig stick if you have a PS3, right? You're going to download all your games, you'll store them on your PS3, and before you go out, you can say, oh, I want to play Uncharted today, and you download Uncharted in your thing, and you go, and it's no big deal. But not knowing that, and only knowing, you know, I'm pointing at my iPhone, or you know, only knowing my PSP Go, where I load things up and forget about it, that's the disconnect, right? Like, like when they announce this and they don't tell me prices, I'm like, oh, I want 32 stick. Right. I want to have everything on my Vita at all times. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, no, I don't want to pay an extra $130
for it. That's ridiculous. Well, but you guys are so right when you talk about, you know, 10 years ago, like, they kind of could have hoodwinked us on this shit because we didn't really know.
Cost so much money.
But now you can go on, like, you know, Newegg or Woot or any of these dumb sites,
exactly,
and they're just like, hey, deal of the day, you know, 32 gigs for $8 on a USB stick. And you don't even think anything of it. Like, we have USB sticks all over our desks at work with like 4 gigs, 16 gigs.
Yep.
I never even think, like, this is worth $150.
Yeah.
You know, we just leave them on the floor sometimes.
Yeah, Sony says they're going proprietary to try and curb piracy.
Right.
Which is fine. But why does it have to be that expensive, you know? I know memory's not that expensive, so why?
I don't know.
Well, you figure they could have learned something from their cameras. Remember, the cameras were the same thing. You had to buy their Sony memory, the Pro Duo, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now, recently, the CyberShots switched over the SD cards, and they're selling a lot more competitively. You figure they learned something from that, hey, maybe if we made it just like a standard memory card, it would be a lot easier on the consumer.
Again, it's what the 3DS uses.
Right.
I mean, give Nintendo all the crap you can, but when that thing came out, it was $250, and it had enough. It came with a memory stick. It's all you needed right there.
Yeah, so it was kind of a big deal at E3 when Sony announced that Vita's price was going to be $250, because at the time, it was like same price as the 3DS.
Yep.
Now, not only is the 3DS cheaper, but you don't have to buy these expensive memory cards.
And I'm breaking GameScoop rule to use my phone just to verify, and I'm looking at GameStop's thing. And this is another thing, right, because we don't know hard facts, because Sony is so far out on showing us what's happening. When the PSP released, it came with a 32-megabyte stick. So they gave you a little bit of memory to work with. But yeah, from everything we know, the Vita in America doesn't have any stick and bundled with it, unless you buy the bundle that comes with a game and everything else in the carrying case and all this garbage.
Yeah.
Totally stupid. A dumb move. It'll be interesting to see how much it impacts it. I mean, for we're talking about people who, you know, pay attention, right? Like, yeah. Like, first off, it's a system that's totally aimed at the hardcore. Like, that's what they're trying to get you with, right? Come play Uncharted, come play Super Stardust, these games that you know you like if you've played a lot of PS3 or whatever.
Yeah.
So people there would know at the entry level of doing it. And maybe that does make the bundle sweeter, you know what I mean? Like, because I was, the first time I saw their bundles out with the 4 gig stick, the smallest stick they have, and I was like, well, I don't want to buy that because I want a big stick. I want all this memory. And now that I know how much memory is, well, it's like, well, maybe I buy that and then see how this, you know, lifeboat pretty much to a PS3
works. You say that, but I think, like, if you've ever been to the launch of a console or, you know, a handheld or something like
I've
that.
I've been there once or twice.
Well, I mean, like, you actually, when you're in the shit, like, you're in GameStop and it's 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever, midnight the night before, and there's, you know, 15, like, mothers in line for their kids.
True.
There's a guy behind the counter and he's like,
oh, you need this,
you know,
stuff.
You need the backpack and you need the controllers and the hat. And all this other crap, and you're standing there, and you're like, you don't need any of that stuff. So I think they're kind of banking off
For the hat. You do need
the
hat.
You always need the hat. Yeah. But they're banking on people walking in and them going, well, you know, if you get the 32 thing, you know, or this one, you're only going to be able to save 4 games on it. But this, and this, like, you know, this will last you your whole lifespan, and you'll be able to do multiplayer, and, like, they'll hoodwink everyone.
Whoa!
Yeah, and that stuff just confuses and annoys parents.
Yeah, I mean, if they say they're going after the hardcore, the hardcore are exactly the type of people that know they're getting hoodwinked when it comes to buying proprietary
memory. When Vita got first announced, all the specs came out, all the, like, the tech-savvy, like, community out there were like, oh, my God, handheld for us, finally. It's going to be ahead. And now they're smart enough to know that, hey, this is a total ripoff. Yeah. Memory should not be this expensive.
That's the thing. I think the hardware is still a total steal. Yeah. Like, from what they're showing us and what they're putting in there, $250 is a great deal. You're getting a lot more out the box than I did when I bought my 3DS at $250. That being said, I could open up my 3DS and start playing it and saving things immediately. And who knows now?
I think Sony will have to drop the price before the end of 2012.
For memory?
For memory or for the system.
Oh, okay.
Do we know how
in order to compete with the 3DS? Like, 3DS now has a head start and is starting to gain steam, so it's
Yeah.
Do we know how long it took before the PSP dropped price? Because I remember people complained a lot about that.
It was almost a year.
Was it? Was it 2006?
I bought my first one after a year was out because it dropped price.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I don't recall. I was on the outside looking in.
Anyway, enough talk about Vita memory cards. We have our winners of our Saints Row the Third games and headsets from last week. Winners go to Gabriel Contreras of the Bronx, New York. He gets a PS3 copy. Craig Standridge of Tacoma, Washington gets a PS3 copy. And David Lara of Austin, Texas gets an Xbox 360 copy. Enjoy those, guys. Those should be going out to you soon.
What's up? Look at you, spreading the love all across the country.
Yeah, right? This week to give away, we have Diablo 3 art and lore book. The Diablo 3 Book of Kane. We all got these in the office.
I know. I only do the laugh off because they literally sent them to everyone in the office.
All of us got, but I'm giving mine away to a GameScoop listener.
So am I.
You want to give yours away too? I thought you already did.
I put it in a pile. Yeah, I'm assuming it's
gone. I dumped mine on Ryan Clement's
desk.
It's on
my desk now. I have about 10 to give away now.
I mean, this is a hardback book. It's kind of cool if you like.
Diablo 3.
It's a great book.
Yeah.
It's a great book.
So if you want a copy of it, email us, gamescoop@ign.com. Give me your name and your address so I can just send it right out to you. And in the subject line, include the code word, burning hell.
Hopefully that doesn't get caught in any spam filters.
No. I don't think so. Any other questions for us there, Walter?
Yes. Justin Das. You guys should know this guy. He wants to know.
Is it pronounced Das? In my head I say Das.
Das. Do you guys ever figure out if mummies were zombies?
No.
The argument rages on.
The jury's still out. I still do firmly plant my beliefs that Frankenstein was a cyborg. That's all I learned from that.
So you're once again forgetting that Frankenstein was the doctor and
Frankenstein's monster was a cyborg. Frankenstein was a mummy.
Here's one for you, Damon.
Lay it on me.
Yesterday, I go to see a demo for a game.
Can you say what game?
Yeah, sure. Gotham City Impostors.
Oh, yeah.
my impressions are embargoed till a date, and I don't even know if I'll write about it. So anyways, I leave the demo, though, and I pour myself a to-go cup of coffee, put the lid on it. I'm in a hotel.
Yeah.
And I go down into the hotel lobby, and I'm like, well, I got to pee before I go home. I look around. There's no, like, concierge. I'm not with anybody.
So it's your coffee.
Yeah. So what should I have done?
You're in a hotel lobby.
Yeah.
The concierge is very friendly.
Yeah.
I would explain to them.
It's kind of far away, though.
I would say,
says the guy that just bought exercise shoes.
I didn't buy them at that point yet.
I would say, you know, I need to restroom. Do you mind if I set my coffee down here for just a moment? Yeah. And I'm sure they would say, of course, of course.
No, get out of here. Let's go.
That's what I was in France. Sure. Did you take your coffee
in
the bathroom?
I took it to the bathroom.
Disgusting.
I thought about you the whole time, though. While I did everything. Pee. I just peed. I didn't do anything gross.
Because I know you're not above doing the other thing in hotel bathrooms.
You know, I love to do the other thing. I'll poop anywhere I gotta poop. That's another thing. All right. I have some great stories. Me and Damon will finish, when I used to live downtown, we'd finish movies and be walking back to his scooter. And I would stop like a block early and be like, all right, see you later. I'm gonna poop in the W. And one time I went in there and there was this giant party and Jerry Rice was in the bathroom with me. I was like, wow. Hey.
All right, and we are now joined by Justin Davis from IGN Wireless, as well as Donald Muster, creative director at Chair Entertainment, just released Infinity Blade 2 to the world. Welcome, Donald.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Justin, what's going on with this Infinity Blade 2 business?
It's a big deal. You can read all about it on IGN Wireless. The game is a ton of fun.
Will you have reviewed it by now when this episode is being listened to?
This is getting very
We're recording in the past, listeners, just so you know.
We're recording this early with the understanding that it's going to happen later. Will I have reviewed it? Yes, the review is going to be on IGN Wireless by the time you listen
to this. All right, and so while you're listening to it right now, Infinity Blade 2 is now available in the App Store. It's $6.99. Donald, obviously, the first Infinity Blade was a huge success last year. It was almost a year ago that it came out, right?
It was almost exactly a year ago. Yeah, it came out last December 9th. Yeah.
What have you been doing the past year? What's new in Infinity Blade 2?
Lots is new in Infinity Blade 2. I mean, we've spent probably the first half of the year working on lots of updates for Infinity Blade. And that was one of the things we wanted to kind of experiment with, was what happens if we create a bunch more content for a game after we've released it and then just give it away for free. Hmm. And we loved doing that. It allowed us to really refine the first Infinity Blade into a really, you know, just a really polished, expansive experience. And once we finished that, you know, finished adding multiplayer and a bunch of new single player content, we got right to work on Infinity Blade 2. And we're really happy with the result. I'm really proud of Infinity Blade 2. I'm wearing my Empire Strikes Back shirt, which I wore on way more than I should have during the production of Infinity Blade 2 to kind of hopefully channel, you know, good sequel vibes into the game. Shirt.
Important question. Yeah. Is or is not Empire Strikes Back the best Star Wars film?
It's not only the best Star Wars film, in my opinion, it's tied as my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, it's more than just the best Star Wars film. It's one of the best films.
That is the correct answer.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
So let's say if you had to tell, if someone wanted to know, what are the three big things about Infinity Blade 2?
So probably the three big things that everyone needs to know about Infinity Blade 2 are, one, it's a much bigger, deeper game. There's just a lot more world to explore, a lot more deathless characters to defeat and destroy, and there's a lot more customability. We really just kind of tried to take everything that was really great about the first game and just blow it out. Just really take every system and take a hard look at it and make sure it was just really refined and really, really fun. So it's a bigger game with a lot more customability, and we're happy with it. Yeah,
the first game was such a huge success, and it was like a lot of people took notice. It was like, whoa, like mobile gaming. This is kind of what mobile gaming is capable of now. Obviously, as a developer, you always hope your game is going to be a success, but were you surprised at just how successful it was?
Yeah, for sure we were. It was definitely an experiment for us. You know, for us, we looked at it and said, wow, our Unreal Engine 3 technology can run on these devices. Let's make something that really shows off the power of the engine. And, at Chair, we looked at it and said, how can we make a game that is really, really unique to these devices? I mean, to the point where we said, if our game would even work with a controller, we're making the wrong game. Mm-hmm. You know, let's really, really take advantage of this touch screen.
So do you think it's safe to say that it sort of changed the direction of the company? You know, as Chair, if Infinity Blade would have been a more modest success, would the company be doing different things now creatively than it is?
I don't know. I mean, I think we're at a really interesting time in the game industry right now, where the consoles are maturing to a point that is longer than most console cycles have been.
And for sure.
Mobile's
used to be 5 years.
And,
like, that was a hard rule.
Exactly. And now we're kind of past that. We're kind of... I mean, I don't want to get too meta here, but it kind of seems like...
Let's do it.
Yep. We're kind of in this weird time where the consoles are... Stagnant's the wrong word, but they're mature.
Yeah,
right.
That's the nice way.
They have longer legs than these two.
Yeah,
right. And the games that are coming out for them.
I'm sorry. I like long
legs.
Me too. And that's actually one of the good things about it. I mean, some of the games, some of the titles that have come out in just the last month are some of the most incredible games ever made. I mean, look at everything. Kind of have the entire spectrum. You've got Uncharted 3, that is probably, you know, years ahead of its time as far as just a storytelling device. Mm-hmm. And then you've got, on the other end, you've got, you know, Skyrim, and then you've got the new Zelda, and you've got Modern Warfare really changing the way we look at multi... I mean, there's just prime examples of all types of gaming coming out at once. And then you have the mobile market exploding. And so for us, it's just, it's a time to experiment and a time to see kind of what the future of games is going to be. And right today, at least, Infinity Blade 2... is what made the most sense for us to do after Infinity Blade.
It's great.
You talk about all the big games of the year. What's your favorite game of the year? You can't say your own game.
Honestly, I've been so crazy working on Infinity Blade and Infinity Blade 2 that it's only been literally in the last 3 days I've had a chance to play any. I couldn't believe it. I fired up my Xbox, and the last time that I'd done anything on my gamer tag, it was in February.
That's great.
Whoa. So,
well, no, that's not great. What's great is that you, like, it's been, there's been a lot of gaming goodness over the last couple months, and now you're gonna get a crash course in, like, Arkham City. And
so that's what my pile is right now. I've got Uncharted 3 on the top of my pile, then Arkham City. I played Skyrim for about 2 hours the other night. I'm a few hours into Uncharted 3 at this point. Zelda, I've got sitting right there. So I've got them all just sitting there, and I don't know, what should I play first?
It's a good pile.
I'm loving Skyrim. It's consumed my entire life.
And that's what I feel like. I feel like as soon as I get into Skyrim, it's kind of done for everything else. I'm kind of like, okay, I got to get through.
Yeah, you could knock out some other stuff first.
I got to knock out some other stuff, but...
So you work on Infinity Blade 2 for a year. You release it. There's still a month left in the year. So what do you? Are you relaxing the rest of the year on vacation, or is it straight back to work on something else?
We're pretty tired. We've been working really hard at Chair this last year to just make Infinity Blade 1 and 2 just these amazing experiences. And so the team is now taking a few days of well deserved just kind of rest, and then we're going to start. We're going to kind of get back into the studio and brainstorm about what cool stuff we can make to update Infinity Blade 2. So that'll be kind of the next few months, is us just really working to make Infinity Blade 2 even better and more polished, and listening to what our millions of users want us to change and make more refined.
Are you willing to talk about yet about what some of your content plans are? I think it's probably safe to assume that maybe more weapons or something like that's in the works, but what's coming for Infinity Blade 2?
I mean, some of it we have planned. I mean, the big one that we have planned and we're actively working on is Clash Mobs, which we've talked about a little bit.
But not here.
Yeah, and Clash Mobs, the idea of Clash Mobs is we really are trying to look at these devices and say, how are we interacting with these mobile devices, and what's the best way to create a community multiplayer kind of experience where you're only playing these devices for 2 minutes at a time? And so... our idea was to come up with these things we're calling Clash Mobs, where imagine if you had, a daily or weekly challenge where you would have, for example, let's say there's a big monster that has 10 million hit points, and after 24 hours it's going to run away. But if it can be killed, you'd receive some really rare gem or sword or whatever, and you get one 30-second chance to do as much damage as you can to this guy. And let's say you take off 10 or 20,000 hit points. Well, that we store in the cloud, and the next person that comes in gets their chance. And if collectively you can kill this guy as a whole community, you'll all participate in the reward. And we think that's going to be really cool. We have some really cool ideas for it.
And, it's okay. There's a baby in the podcast. It's probably the youngest person who's ever been in here while we're recording.
Yep. And it's IGN Babe of the Day, right? Yeah. Literally.
Yes, exactly.
And that's going to be cool.
So Clash Mobs, I think that's a great idea. I like the idea of, I don't know, I'm stealing this term from someone else, but like massively single player, where it's like we do have a little podcast cameo.
It's true.
Goodbye. anyway. But I just like that idea of people working cooperatively. You're doing your own thing. It's not overtly sort of a co-op multiplayer game, but you can still work towards a greater goal with people. And I'd like to see more of that in games in general.
Yeah, no, I think because to me it's all about how can we push these devices forward. And you know, we have this really cool, I'd say more traditional multiplayer for Infinity Blade 1, right, where it's synchronous, you're matched up with other players, it's, you know, kind of head-to-head fighting, and that's really cool, and lots of people love it, but I don't know if that's the best expression of multiplayer on a mobile device, where I'm playing it in line at the store, or really quickly while I'm on the train, and so Clash Mobs is some of our reaction to that, going, how can we make a 30-second multiplayer experience where you don't necessarily have to be synchronous, and
that's great,
is more expressive,
and so that's something that's coming a little bit later after people have had a chance to maybe work their way through the game, and yep, then Clash Mobs are going to be rolled out.
Yeah, I mean, cool. Again, well, Infinity 2 is a much larger experience, and so it's going to take people some time to get through it, and yeah,
it's
and
a big game.
It is a big game, and then we're, you know, we'll kind of hit you with Clash Mobs, and then we have lots of other stuff. I mean, we're like you said, I mean, we definitely have lots of other cool enemy designs and weapons and items and things like that, and so we have some ideas of where we want to take it, but that's what we'll kind of be figuring out next week. We're going to sit down, and I mean, we really have every piece of content that we've created, and there's a lot of it we've crammed into the game at this point, and now we'll start working on new stuff.
Yeah. And that's the big thing. You know, by all means, read my full review to sort of get the full scoop, but the big thing that struck me about Infinity Blade 2 is just how much bigger it is. You know, mm-hmm, it doesn't feel like a radically different game. Infinity Blade is still Infinity Blade, but there's a lot more to do. The first game was a little short, you know, you fought your 10 battles and that was it. In this one, there's a lot more to explore, a lot more sort of branching paths to take, and the world changes, and it's much, much bigger. And that's really, I think, the biggest difference from 1 to 2, certainly.
Well, I'm really excited about it. I liked Infinity Blade 1, really excited to play 2. But before you made Infinity Blade, you made a little game called Shadow Complex.
Yep.
And my listeners would not be happy with me if I didn't ask you about Shadow Complex 2. And what the possibility of that coming. Well, we've heard that exists in some form somewhere. Are we ever going to play Shadow Complex 2?
Absolutely.
That's good news.
We love Shadow Complex, and
so do we.
And we, you know, when we finish the first Shadow Complex, we, you know, like when we finish any game, we kind of sit around as a team and evaluate what's going on and what we want to do next. And we did. We started really, really digging into and figuring out what Shadow Complex 2 would look like, and it's awesome. It's one of the best games we've ever designed. It's very, very cool. Then this mobile stuff started blowing up, and it really made sense for us to kind of explore that mobile space and see what was going on in that space with Infinity Blade. Moving forward, I mean, really, it's just finding the right time and the right place for. Again, it kind of fits in with what we were talking about earlier, where we're kind of in this interesting time in the consoles, sure, and kind of everything else, and I think there's lots of people that want more Shadow Complex. We want it more than anybody, but nobody wants a Shadow Complex that isn't amazing, and so we need to make sure that we deliver it at the right time on the right platform or platforms, and just make sure it's everything we all want it to be. So we're still trying to figure out the business strategy behind it, but it'll be there. Just be patient.
How long has it been? Was that 2008?
It's been 2009.
Yeah. I guess it feels longer than
that. Yeah, that was great. It's probably my favorite live arcade game.
Yeah, it's up there. If not my absolute favorite, it's definitely up there.
Well, it's definitely my favorite kind of game. I love that genre of game. Yep.
Did you? I guess you did. So you didn't get to play Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
You know what? I guess I did lie. I played that game.
That game is great.
And I loved that
really
game.
Really fun. Yeah,
I played it from start to finish. I got 100% on it.
Nice.
I thought that, that's the kind of game I love to play. Yeah. And that game was great.
There's anybody that ranks Super Metroid as their top. It's my favorite game of all time. And sure, I know a lot of people feel the same way. So
good pick.
Anybody like that's tops in my book.
Well, do keep us informed Shadow Complex. But as for current events, good luck with the launch of Infinity Blade 2. I'm really excited to check it out. It's available right now in the App Store. It's $6.99. Listeners, check it out. And thanks for coming by,
no,
Donald.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Later. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Christopher Peterson did. He asks, when a game comes out on 360 and PS3? Which console do you play it on? How do you decide, and do you choose the same console every time? Just comes down to your personal preference, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Greg probably plays it on the PlayStation 3.
For me, it comes down to what I get first and how what kind of deadline I'm under. I try to play things on PS3 because I like trophies and stuff.
Just not for work, just if you're just playing a game for yourself for fun.
Oh, sure, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought the question was for review. Yeah, PS3. Mm. And then, but like Dead Island, when I was reviewing Dead Island, they got me a 360 copy days early, and I wasn't going to be like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll wait. My review can be late.
I used to be pretty much all 360, and I was telling Greg recently, I just shifted towards PS3. Like, nothing. I think I just stopped caring about trophies, and I had moved.
You mean achievements?
Or achievements. And I had moved and unplugged my 360, and I forgot to plug it back in. And I was just like, hey, I kind of like the PS3 controller, like the interface. I was using it for Netflix and everything like that. And I just slowly started gravitating towards playing everything on PS3. There was no fanboy reason about it. It was just like, cool, I like it better here. So here I am.
While I was in the shower today, Damon, I'm pretty sure I came to the conclusion I'm just going to play Mass Effect 3 on 360.
Really?
Why is that? I'm never going to rebuild my character on PS3. And it's just not worth, it's not worth playing through again. Like, everything ended really well for me on the 360 version. And I don't feel like going back and doing it. And I don't feel like starting fresh on a PS3 version.
Fresh. I play most of the games on 360. It's just, for the same reasons you say, for the PS3, it's just the environment that I prefer as all.
Yeah.
And the controller I prefer, I would say.
I end up switching back and forth all the time. But right now, I'm actually on the 360 a lot more because, the Forza 4, we have an IGN community there. And then Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 3.
Yep.
I just play with a bunch of people in the community, so just it's a lot easier on the 360.
Sure. Greg, you mentioned Mass Effect 3.
I did.
The next question is about Mass Effect 3.
ZOMG. Transition.
Comes from Eric Shaleko.
Oh, hey, Eric Shaleko.
My question is, how will my Mass Effect save transfer from Mass Effect 2 to 3? I played Mass Effect 2 on PC.
Oh, no.
But I bought it through Steam. Oh. Will my save still transfer, even though I have to get Mass Effect 3 through Origin? Or will I have to play Mass Effect 3 without my choices carrying over? Eric, I reached out to Electronic Arts.
You did not.
I did.
You dog.
I got the answer to your question. Your Mass Effect 2 save should be stored in your documents folder. As long as it's there, Mass Effect 3 will find that save file in your documents folder.
Look at that.
All right.
America.
Take that, Sweden.
Did you call Casey Hudson directly?
I did. I call him the case. I'm on the case. This is JP Gill. It says, long-time listener. First time writing in. I know you've all been Skyrim, and I just had to write in to get your opinions on the soundtrack.
We have been Skyrim.
Yeah. He wants our opinions on the soundtrack.
Okay.
He says, I must say it's such an amazingly beautiful and powerful soundtrack. I regularly get chills just listening to it while pausing to look out at the beautiful vistas in the game. It's absolutely an amazing piece of work, and I consider it to be the best video game soundtrack of the year, perhaps even the decade.
Whoa!
Huge kudos, Jeremy Soule, for creating it. I totally agree with you, JP. I was thinking, I keep going back and forth. I don't know if my final game of the year pick will go to Skyrim or Portal 2, but Skyrim totally has my vote for game music of the year. The soundtrack is incredible.
It's really good.
So we agree with you.
Yes. Yeah.
He also says, while looking for the copy of the soundtrack, I found that purchasing it through directsong.com before December 23rd will get you a signed copy of the soundtrack.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Already.
PSA. The more you know.
Do-do-do-do. Yeah. JP.
This is Lucas.
Thomas.
Beta.
Go review some 3DS games. Stop writing in here.
Is there any chance Nintendo will make a smartphone for their games? Since this company is the only one that doesn't have one. I guess he means a video game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's manufacturers. Console manufacturers.
No.
I think it would be interesting to see that because at the same time, they would invest on the ever-expanding smartphone market. They would also finally have an excuse to stop making handhelds, which haven't been selling well lately.
What?
Well, we were just talking earlier about how the 3DS
is
selling.
We need to get out of here. This excuse of this billion-dollar corporation that keeps us alive every year.
Also, if Apple makes a wireless controller for the iPad, will Sony and Nintendo stop making handhelds?
No.
No.
Apple's too stubborn to ever make a wireless controller for their hand.
No, but somebody else could.
Somebody else
could. God, we were just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah,
we were talking about the iCade and how it's not the right solution. Like, if somebody made a wireless controller for the iPad that worked well, it would be game over.
The problem with that, though, is that you'd have to have every single independent app store developer support this peripheral. Not only that, but hide the fact that they were supporting this peripheral in the description of it. because a lot of people no, I'm not kidding you. A lot of people, a lot of iPad supported games or iCade supported games, if you go and search on the App Store, you won't find that they're actually iCade supported. You'll have to go on forums and look up lists and stuff like that.
Well, why would they hide that though?
Because Apple is very much just like, this touchscreen interface is the touchscreen interface, and it, we made it because you don't need buttons. So work with what you have, because this is the future.
That's dumb.
Whereas, yeah, exactly. You and me and the rest of us as gamers were like, Dead Space, this is great, but I wish I could just have controllers on the side, you know?
As it is right now, a lot of...
You hold on, you have your hands on like a shopping cart.
Well, it's like a Wii U controller.
As it is right now, only certain types of games work really well on the iPad.
Yeah, and they're the ones specifically that aren't usually trying to ape what consoles are doing.
Yeah.
They're the ones saying, this is a touchscreen interface, we're going to work with that.
Strategy games, board games, puzzle games, that stuff is,
see,
is
I think
amazing
it,
on the iPad.
It has a lot to do with Apple being like, you know, dropping their guard a little and saying... Okay, touchscreen's great. It's a great interface, but what if we let people attach a controller to it? You know,
They need to accept the fact that they made a gaming platform, even though they may not have intended to. They did.
Mm-hmm. So now just let us play everything on it, and they'll win.
I'm imagining all the ringtones in a Nintendo smartphone. You have a friend named Mario?
I don't. Did you ask me that because I'm Italian?
Yes.
No, I don't.
It'd be nice.
My friends aren't all characters from the Mushroom Kingdom. Believe it.
Damn it.
But no, I don't. I don't think Nintendo will make a smartphone. This is Vincent. He says, I'm an LLFTW from London. Been gaming since I was 9. I'm now 26. Been reading IGN since 1998. Me too. Totally appreciate the time you guys take to make GameScoop. On to my question. The idea of a motion-controlled action-adventure lasting over 40 hours just doesn't seem appealing to me.
Thank you.
However, the recommendations and reviews of Skyward Sword all seem to point to nothing but fun times ahead. Mm-hmm. Can anyone, preferably those who do not have a lot of experience with the Wii, provide balance with their personal opinions on Skyward Sword's motion controls? Greg Miller.
Sure. I have experience with the Wii. And my problem is, this is not a knock against Skyward Sword. I just don't want to play games that way. And it is one for one, and it is really it is smooth. But like, I mean, for me personally, it's a bad experience because I like to sit on my couch and I like to play games. And I have a dog named Pertilla who loves to run down the hall and get a toy and come back and climb out of my lap. Mm-hmm. So then when I have to lift my sword up to do something, he's underneath the rope now that's in between the nunchuck and the thing. And I'm short. You know, it's just like, it's not how I want to play. I've taken when I was playing to sitting on the ground in front of my couch and then, like, putting my arm on the table, like coffee table, to kind of balance it out. Not because I'm super lazy, just because I found that to be an easier solution. I like Skyward Sword fine. I think I'm 3 or 4 hours into it. Got my green tunic. I'm on the ground. I've met the weird pillow-looking people. Mm-hmm. I've gone into what I think is the first dungeon, which was actually created where I had to spin the eye for the first time, make it like dizzy. I enjoyed all that, but when I put it down, I took it with me to Chicago, and I was like, I'll play it there because I won't have anything else to play. And I found myself playing more of 3DS Mario because when I want to play Zelda, it's just like when I want to play Skyward Sword. Or I'm sorry, when I want to play Zelda, it's just like when I want to play... Brian, you need to get out of here. Mike wants you. When I play Zelda, I want to play it like I play Skyrim, which is where I sit down and play for hours and hours and hours and on end. And so since the game is so huge, it's actually turning me off a bit as to getting back into it. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where I just want to play other experiences and... I don't know. One day I'll get back to it, but...
Yeah, that's the same reason why I never finished, like, the Metroid on the Wii and all that stuff, because after a time, you just get tired of all this stuff.
This is from Graham. Says, I know this isn't really video game related, but I figured I'd write in anyways. Until recently, I haven't really strayed from American TV shows. I watched a lot of good shows, but never really thought about watching any international shows. A few months ago, a friend recommended Misfits to me, a British superhero show, and I was hooked. It has awesome writing, kept me hooked for the first 2 seasons. My question to you guys is, are there any awesome international TV shows that you would recommend?
Spaced?
Which space is good?
Simon Pegg, yeah.
Space is good, yeah.
So I tried. I tried getting into that. It didn't grab me. But
too close to real life for you?
Yeah.
There's a really great show that a comedian from the U.S., David Cross, wrote for the U.K. called "The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret," and it was one of those shows where they do this thing in the U.K. where they film a pilot, and usually doesn't go past that. But this one was one of the rare times where they gave him 6 full episodes, and I think they're doing another season. And it's got Will Arnett, so it's got 2 people from Arrested Development on it, and it's about this guy who basically gets a job selling energy drinks in the UK, shows up, doesn't know what he's doing, and over the course of 6 episodes just completely runs his company and his life into the ground. So if you can get
what's it called?
The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret.
Gotcha. Is he asking for comedies or just any show in general?
Just any show.
Doctor Who and Top Gear. Mm. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Bulkers. Sorry.
And of course, there's The Office.
Yeah. which was, what, 6 episodes and a Christmas special?
Two seasons? Of 6 right. episodes, yeah, and then a Christmas special. It's great. And the IT Crowd is really fun. Really, really
funny. I haven't watched that one yet, but I've heard a lot of good
really
things.
Really funny.
Yeah,
it's great. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, for sure. So is The Office. This is Gus Ortega. I have played all the Metal Gear games. I didn't like Metal Gear Solid too much. I did, however, love Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence and Peace Walker. I plan on getting a PS3 soon. Will I like Metal Gear Solid 4?
Yeah, I mean, if you're that invested in the series, you'll be fine with it. You'll enjoy yourself. It's interesting to hear people's opinions on that, you know? But as a Metal Gear fanboy myself, yeah, you'll be fine. You'll enjoy yourself.
Our last email comes from Holly.
Hey, Holly. How you doing?
She says, hello, Scoop Crew. Just want to say I absolutely love both GameScoop and Knock and Boost podcasts, and I think you guys define awesomeness. Don't have a gaming question, but I will be turning 21 next March, and I live in San Francisco.
No.
What are your favorite bars to go to in the city? Of course, my ideal birthday would involve seeing a Damon set at Rockin' Room, but I may not be that lucky, so what are some other fun places to go?
Let's go to Nicky's in Lower Haight. It's one of my favorite bars.
I don't think I've been there. Nicky's is cool.
I like over in the Sunset Underdog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going there tonight.
That's a bar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the organic sausage joint, and then across the street is another bar called Underdog. It's Underdogs or Underdog. If you walk in and it's a closet and they're selling hot dogs, you're in the wrong Underdogs.
Go across the street. Turn around across the street.
Yeah.
Eddie Rickenbacker's
is fun, and Rick House, of course.
Oh, great cocktails.
Yeah.
21st Amendment, I like the craft beers. It's expensive, but it's fun. It's fun once in a while.
That's a good brewery.
Yeah.
I'm spacing on the name of that. What's that place by the Mentrion with the
4th Street Bar and Grill?
No, the other one. Where you can shoot pool?
Jillian's.
Jillian's. It's a good place. I love that place.
Hobson's Choice is a great bar. It's
That one's in the Haight.
Yeah, it's in the Haight. It's a rum bar. They make their own rum punches from scratch there. Play a lot of old school hip hop.
Fireside in the Sunset's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, nice Fireside is really chill. At Churchill Market is a place called Churchill. Really good cocktails. A bartender there used to work at Rick House. And around the corner from there is Blackbird.
Oh, also yeah, really Blackbird. Blackbird's nice, too. Man, we are alcoholics.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, Zeitgeist. On a nice
and
day.
Zeitgeist on a nice day.
On a nice night, for sure.
Yeah.
Zeitgeist is great. You can sit out back outside.
On the picnic tables.
Smoke cigarettes.
Maybe Ryan Cube will show up.
Maybe in a few months we'll be getting a drink with Holly.
We will be. How are you doing?
I think that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Brian. Thanks for being here today, Walter.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Everybody have a great weekend. My name is Damon. This is IGN and GameScoop. And we're out. Come get some. Beware.
GameScoop. Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.